I think just go for it. I think growth, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a property manager, it doesn't matter what your role is, even if you're a receptionist, because I've been there and I have been the receptionist. If you've got dreams to have a career in this industry, my suggestion is to just go for it.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast, containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining me today is the founder and CEO of Property Management Virtual Assistant, otherwise known as PMVA. As well as being an expert in her field, her career in property management and training has spanned over 20 years. Welcome to the show, Tiffany Botell.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
I'm really well. It's great to have you with us, virtually no less.
Yes.
Which sort of leads nicely into our first question. Now, you are a new regular in Elite Agent. We've got quite a few new regulars in Elite Agent this upcoming issue, and we're beginning to know all of you over the next couple of months. But I might just rewind, because you've been in the industry for 20 years now. So let's just go back to, how did you get your start in the real estate industry?
I started in real estate in mid-90s. It was the recession that we had to have, that recession.
That recession, yeah.
Enough, we're back in another one. And so I was looking for a career to do with people. Like, I love helping people and I like being around people. And I was really looking for something coming out of that that was people orientated. I was living in Melbourne and the real estate scene in Melbourne was really big at that time. And it just seemed like a pretty good match. Yeah, I was just attracted to the whole idea of property, people, and just getting into a scene that had a lot of energy in it in Melbourne back in those days. And I started on reception when I first began my career there in an office that had actually been around for about 80 or 100 years or something. It's called T.G. Newton's out in Oakley. Very small corner office that has been around a really long time. And at the time, they were probably one of the bigger Genman offices, and they had a structure, they had training. From the day I started on reception, I was hooked on the whole process of a systemized real estate business, even way back then.
And you've had some interesting roles since then. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey in real estate over the last 20 years?
Yeah, so I think I've pretty much done everything inside a real estate business except own one. So when it came to business ownership, that's about the only thing I haven't done. But in terms of business development management, operations, recruitment, trust accounting, property management, portfolio management, everything from new building construction and working with developers right through to on-site management and pretty much everything in between. Over that time, I worked in Victoria, mostly around Melbourne area to start with. Then I took off, I went to London, and funnily enough, I went on a Contiki tour, which was the thing you did back then in the 90s and early 2000s. And I met a girl on a Contiki tour who was from a Ray White office in Sydney, and she had a job in London. She was like, come work with me in property management. So my 6-week trip turned into a 3-year stay in London working with her on High Street in Kensington. And then I came back to Australia again and went, okay, let's get back into real estate here. Before I knew it, I was living in Hong Kong with relocations in Hong Kong, including some travel and some other bits and pieces. So then I came back again and went, right, now I'm really going to focus on real estate in Australia. And I met someone and chased a boy to Brisbane, which did not work out. I ended up at Consol and moved into training. And that was sort of how the training side of my career moved into there. So 15 years on the ground as a property manager all over pretty much, and then into training from there.
Yeah, wow. And so you've taken the leap into your own business now. So tell me a little bit about PMBA.
Yeah, well, PMBA didn't start out as PMBA. It actually started out as another company called PMIT, which is Property Management Institute of Training. And I ran that business straight out of working at Console. So I had worked at Console as a trainer and honed my software skills and industry training skills working there. And they actually offered me an opportunity to go out on my own and blend my whole career into a training business. And so that's how it started. And I had that business now, I've had that business for 8 years. And it was in that business that I had coaching consulting clients that I would go into their office. They'd pay me to come in, systemize and create like a corporate structure within their companies, predominantly in the rent role, and fix up the leaks and the issues that they had with recruitment, as well as, you know, build systems and processes and combine the technology that they had in the business. And that's what I was doing predominantly until a few of those clients asked about outsourcing. And they knew that I had a couple of VAs and I had tried a few different places around the globe. And they asked me, hey, Tiff, can you hook me up with somebody somewhere that we could also utilize? So I had that relationship already. Then they asked me, hey, can you get me somewhere where you got yours from? Was how it worked. And in those days, outsourcing wasn't really something, because we're talking about when I trialed this, it was probably 6 years ago now. So it was still, you know, pretty much unheard of. And really only option was freelancing and hiring people who were home-based. And so for that reason, it didn't really work to begin with. So I got the clients a couple of people and disasters sort of started very early in terms of communication and culture and just a whole plethora of things that didn't work. And then one night a client actually suggested to me, Tiff, you're really great at the training and the systems, and how about you just take over this part for me too? Because you know my business, you know what needs to happen. Why don't you I just pay you extra and you can train the VA for me? And that was how PMBA began. So I spoke to a couple other clients that had done the same thing, and they were like, yeah, we think you should take this over. So I ran both companies to start with, not knowing whether one was going one way and one was going the other, and just sort of testing it to see whether it was going to be something. And within 12 months, it was very evident that there was something there. And as a result, I packed up PMIT and blended everything that I call it the 8 years of research,
yeah,
and melted that into PMBA. So we still have all the training videos that we now use in our training academy in the Philippines that I built and designed way back then. And we still use that context. It's classic, you know, routine inspection hasn't changed in 10 years. It's still a routine inspection. So it was a blend of those things and an evolution really to create sustainability and systemization still for the client.
So with PMBA as it is today, what are the biggest problems that you solve for your clients in the real estate industry?
It's funny because it's the same problem still from the training business, the outsourcing business solves. Growth is one thing that a lot of people struggle with. I think most real estate business owners want to grow, whether it's their sales or rentals, they want to grow their business. But when you're growing a business, what tends to happen is you have all these milestones and roadblocks that get in the way. Because in your mind, you're like, oh, I just want to go from 200 properties up to 800, or you know, you're not maybe even as ambitious as that. Just an extra 100 would be amazing.
Yeah.
But how you manage 200 is definitely not how you manage 800. And there's different ways to handle those milestones as you go along. And I think that's probably one of the biggest things is most real estate business owners don't tend to have a corporate background, or sales agents that have come into the industry. And so there's a lot missing in the industry around the education on what to do and when to do it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that we solve is those areas of the business. When do I recruit? How many people should I have in my EBU or my effective business unit? Or at what point do I recruit the next property manager? When do I put on a sales associate? All those questions. So recruitment's a big one. Growth is another really big one. And then you get all the people problems when you grow. So then you have culture issues and retention of staff and retention of clients. And how do we have a good client experience so that we're not just growing our business, but we're keeping the business that we've got as well. So there's a plethora of stuff that we really, but through outsourcing, what we're trying to do is really tackle the majority of those problems by stabilizing the systemization of the business and having people in place that do the mundane admin stuff. That's all part of the bigger picture, so that the client is and their team are essentially free to really focus on the customer experience and retain the client.
Yeah, absolutely. So this kind of solves the problem in a way of like anyone can go and pick up an outsourcer, or we've done it too in our business. So I remember in the early days I was always on Fiverr or Upwork, or and I had a couple of really good experiences, but I had a couple of disasters.
Me too. Because
I can remember once I outsourced this web job to someone and ended up screaming to someone in India about how terrible it was. Because I think as a business owner, you're lured in by the low cost of employment in countries like the Philippines and India and Pakistan and places like that. But then you're not actually in for all the other things that go with it. Like, you know, you think you're just going to get a job done, but there are different levels of expertise and all that sort of thing. So this is what you're solving with PMBA, isn't it? That you actually have the people, but you overlay your own systems, processes, training, all of that sort of thing, so that the business owner doesn't actually have to worry about that sort of stuff.
Correct. And I think that's what's been missing in the industry up until we really started and prototyped this new model. And that was why I was really adamant about setting up. I could have just gone over to Philippines or another location and set up a recruitment business, essentially, is what I call outsourcing. Most outsourcing companies are just a recruiter. They'll recruit a Filipino worker or an overseas worker. They'll pop them in a chair and then the client's got to do everything. And there may be a few workflows that they'll throw in here or there, but the majority of the time people running their outsourcing companies aren't from the industry and haven't worked in the industry, so it makes it difficult for them to even understand the client if they haven't done it, if that makes sense. And so it is a lure to go into the cheaper end to get that, because you think, oh, I'm not really paying much, so my commitment level is low, but the risk is really high and the success rate is very, very low. And so that's what we were trying to do, is go, this is our area of expertise. We've been in this game a really long time. Prior to the outsourcing business, I had systemized the back end of nearly 8,000 offices that I had been to across that 10, including Console, almost a decade. And so I had roadmapped all of those companies that I had, that they paid me to consult to. And I had this huge resource of roadmaps to run a business. And so that's what you pay a little bit more in our model. It's still very, very low cost, but you pay a little bit more in order to expedite the time that it takes to do that, because we've done it so many times now. We're still bespoke though, and so every client is unique and every client's systems must be customized to their culture and the way they want to grow their business. So whilst we have best practice, we still allow that level of consulting at the very early stages to make sure we're really on the same page in order to get the best results.
Yeah. Have you seen an increase in outsourcing with COVID at all?
Not in the early part of COVID. I think in the early part of COVID, we had people panic. Although that said, I've got to say probably less than 10% of our client base panicked. There was definitely a few that absolutely lost their minds. But the majority were actually really, they took it really well, and they didn't panic. They waited until the government body gave the structure to follow, and especially the institutes in real estate were fabulous at handling the responses. And I think that really reassured the agents, and that really helped with the outsourcing component. So we didn't explode by any means. It was just steady. And, you know, we had a shutdown too over there, and everyone was working from home, not just our business, but our Filipino workforce also was shut down. And as part of the agreement, you have to have redundancies in your business to keep going. And so we pivoted on the same night. So we actually got notice at about 10 o'clock that night, and we had till midnight. So we had about two and a half hours to move our workforce to home base, and we weren't prepared, and it was crazy. But we had 95% of our workforce up and running at 9 o'clock the next morning, and we did that for 6 weeks. We've been back fully operational now for 2 months, and in that period of time, we've seen a massive amount of inquiry into outsourcing. That has really now picked up since end of financial year, June, July, it took off. And for that reason, we reinvested invested our capital back into buying everybody in the Philippines a second computer. So now everybody has a workstation on standby at home and they have their workstation at the office. So the way we run it is the client's data remains hard in our office through our servers and our protocols, and the VA then remotes into their workstation at the office using a team viewer and a secure protocol, so that the client's data is still located in our secure office. It doesn't actually go home with anybody, which is, again, really unique to have that type of experience. So client's data is everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, when you're dealing with people's personal information and all that sort of stuff. I hadn't considered that. So in the Philippines, like, I mean, we have an outsourcer as well. She went home. So that must have been a challenge for you too, to get everyone out and working from home. But I suppose now that you've done the work, if it happens again, you're all set up and ready to go.
We are now. But, you know, our clients, that's what they're paying us to do. They trust us enough to be able to take care of, you know, one of the unique parts about our business is we have a backup guarantee. And the reason we have a backup guarantee is because we do the training and the onboarding of those virtual assistants. So for our clients, whilst they love to have the relationship with their virtual assistant, that they do get to have that, it's not the service isn't pivotal on one person. It's pivotal on the company itself. So if the VA leaves or, you know, doesn't stay in the job or has personal things, we always have somebody else available as a backup. And so the client trusts us then because of that process. We don't have any days off. We don't have annual leave. We don't have any of that. The staff get it, but the client doesn't see that because the client always has somebody who's trained, who's sitting in the chair. And so when you have that level of trust and the client's basically pinning their whole structure on having you available, you've got to be available. And so you've got to have all those redundancies in place to de-risk the relationship.
So what sort of jobs are people outsourcing at the moment? Because I know there are kind of ebbs and flows in outsourcing the same way all trends kind of run. So what are the sort of jobs that people are looking to offshore at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's remained pretty consistent, actually. So for the first couple of years, we stuck mostly to the property management sector, and we stuck predominantly to traditional during the tenancy stuff. So it was maintenance, lease renewals, routine inspection, everything that's admin related. And our client base came from word of mouth, essentially, and that came from that decade of being a consultant in the industry. And so over time, though, we've had more and more inquiries. So we've now increased our lines of business up to 8 lines of business. So we're working through property management. We now have leasing specific, business development and prospecting. Lead generation and prospecting probably picked up inquiry both on the sales and rental side. Social media is something that people are starting to inquire a little bit about, and marketing. So we do have some prototyping that we're doing there at the moment, and we practice on ourselves. Everything we do, we practice on ourselves first.
Yeah.
And then we go out to market. So marketing, we launched at our annual conference last year in October. And so we've got a handful of people that are doing that. And I feel like we've systemized that enough to be able to bring that out now. But commercial holiday rentals are all other areas of the business that we've now been doing, sales, trust accounting, a little bit of everything. What we're trying to do essentially is eliminate the need, because the tech isn't there yet. And let's face it, the tech may come at some point down the track. Will it replace human beings fully? Probably not. But there'll be elements of automation. But what we're doing is we're filling that gap at this point in time, and it could be 5 years, it could be 1 year, it could be 10 years. No one really knows. And will it suffice for everything? We don't know. And so that's why we decided to expand our line of business as much as possible to take the pressure off the client. So our model is a pick and mix model where the client can go to all 8 lines of business and basically have a big menu like you would at a sushi bar and tick off all the things that you'd like to eat. So ours is more of a menu where we create that bespoke plan for the client. They go, I've got bottlenecks here. So we start off with like an audit of their business or a strategy, and then we execute that strategy by finding all the holes in their business and where their bottlenecks are. And then we apply the pick and mix menu to fill up those gaps to start with, is how we work. And then once they're on board, they've offloaded as much of the admin, they can focus on growth. And that's where we then create the next strategy and the next strategy as we move forward.
Actually, that was going to be a question I was going to ask you. So a lot of people have got growth on their minds because obviously with scale in a property management business comes with greater profitability, or you would hope so at any rate. So what sort of tips, given your couple of decades of experience, what works when you want to scale and what doesn't work?
Oh, that's an interesting question. That's a good question. I think what works is the first part is understanding your client and understanding what your client's needs are, and then creating a service around what your clients want. So I think that's kind of the first part, is understand what your customers actually want and need, and then design your service around that. Once you know then what your ideal client looks like, who they are and what they want as a service, I think then you can start to plan, okay, we're at 200 managements now, for example, or we might be at 20 sales a month, we want to increase that or 4x it or 2x that, then that's where you start getting into departmentalizing your business. So looking at different departments, looking at the talent that you've got in your business. And look, to be honest, most people will remove staff and put on staff. There's a lot of movement around acquisition of talent in a business that's growing. Not so much in a business that's just consolidating, if that makes sense, because you've got to attract the right talent into your business so that they can lead themselves to keep the growth happening, because no one wants to micromanage employees as best as you possibly can. So systemizing the business is really the key then. So knowing where you want to go and getting that vision, and then systemizing your business. So, you know, essentially everything, and it's funny because most companies that start with us don't have this to this degree, but really starting to look at your business as an actual business or a business development company that delivers sales or rentals as a service, and focusing on that is probably the mindset of the leader of the business. And then working towards that as a plan and going, okay, what do we need to systemize here? Do we have a system for how we onboard? Do we have a system for recruitment? Do we have a system, not just systems for executing a tenancy agreement, but systems for everything in the company?
From a sales perspective, I wrote an article a little while ago, like, it's if you're good in one area but not good in other areas, you're only ever going to be as good as your weakest link. That's what you're saying holds true for property management as well. So you could have the best business development team in the world, but if your service team doesn't stack up to the same level, then that's always going to be what holds you back.
Absolutely. And that's always the fine line and balance between a business that's growing, and any business that's growing has got to keep providing people to do that. And you're right, you get the one minute as a business owner, and I'm saying this from my own experience, not so much even from clients we work with, but just from my own experience, you get one department zinging and then the next department falls over. Then you get that one going and the next one falls over, and there's just all these layers to growth. And I think growth can be a bit romanticized in business as this elusive thing that we all are chasing, but the reality is just so gritty and so hands-on, and it's tough. It's actually really tough to do. It's not easy, and hence why a lot of people don't grow, because it's hard.
Yeah, well, that was going to be the next thing I was going to ask you, actually. So it's almost like you can read my mind here. But what do you think is a leader's primary role when it comes to growth? Like, what should the driver of the bus be doing if you really want to grow your business?
I think the driver of the bus has got to be vision orientated. So always going back to the vision, and then the action, day-to-day action. The question I'm always asking my team is what you're doing right now going to get us to our vision of where we want to go? So it's funny because I never really believed in that process, and obviously I've done plenty of business training in my time as well, and I have quite a few mentors, and I used to hear the whole vision, mission, option and go, oh, it's a bit flaky and it's a bit airy-fairy and I don't really understand how that's really going to get me my result. But now that we have the number of staff that I have, and I'm running it from two countries, and albeit I can't even be in the other country at the moment, having that strong vision is what everybody, so when I'm recruiting talent, that's what I'm selling to the business. When I'm asking someone to dig deep, that's where I'm going into the future of what we're doing. When we've got a massive problem on our hands that we need to overcome as a challenge and come up with a solution, that's what we're headed for. It's like, this is a bump in the road right now, guys. It might look like a big challenge, but in the scheme of where we're going, let's put it in perspective. Everyone hits the reset button. We always come up with a solution, navigate it past, and then continue to keep going. So continual improvement is really important for a leader. Feedback is really important for the leader. But the leader's job is to sell always to the staff and to the team. Where we're going. Where are we going? What are we doing? Let's keep moving forward. You lose a customer, all right? Well, we lost a landlord today, but let's pick up our socks and let's go find the next one.
Let's go win another two.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's exactly it. Because I think that's the key, is to just be vision orientated.
Yeah. COVID has put the brakes on quite a few businesses lately, but I've also noticed that there are some businesses that are actually growing during this time. Like in property management, they've sort of worked out more efficient ways of doing things, particularly in the area of inspections and people and that sort of stuff. What have you seen out there in property management world? Have you seen a similar thing? Have you seen businesses growing too? And what are they doing to grow?
Absolutely. I have to say, I'm really so proud of the clients that are in our mix, the ones we get to deal with on a daily basis. They really make me proud to watch how quickly they pivoted. I mean, I know it's the hot word, but it really was. You know, they're going down one way and you just got to turn around and go a different way and a different direction, and how quickly they embraced the changes. I know our support team here in Brisbane City were on calls when it first happened. We were on the phone, we divided and conquered, and everyone got a group of client numbers and off we went. And we were creating all different kinds of stuff because the software wasn't even quite ready. Like PropertyMe hadn't brought out something yet and the software wasn't even quite ready. So we invented JotForm and a whole bunch of other Zoom links that we could use that the tenants could fill in forms, and we pivoted and helped clients change to that. So all of our clients embraced the change and have moved forward. But I definitely have seen other things, and obviously Sandra and I do a lot of our cold calling, and there's just story after story where people are still deer in the headlights, haven't moved yet, are still thinking about it but don't know where to start. And so that's where I know for sure the whole industry didn't move, but they will eventually, I think. And that's kind of the blessing about COVID, is it forced us to make the changes that were probably long overdue. And now even the people that I still have a Nokia phone, you know, or a roller, you know, dial-up phone, have had to be forced to change. And I think it's a great thing for the industry. And I think it's exciting to see such new innovation in the industry and a big change moving forward. And I think, if anything, I've seen a lot of people just be open to change and be not so fixed anymore. Because ideally, when you're set against some adversity and you don't remain flexible, anyone who doesn't remain flexible will just break. And I do think that there will be a few casualties in the industry from the inability to be flexible. But I think for the most part, what I'm seeing is most people are being pretty flexible and open, albeit they're not moving all that fast. Given the time frame, it's still relatively pretty quick.
Yeah, that sort of gave us a bit of an opportunity to be more creative. It almost is like someone needs to put a brake on the way you've always done things to make you think about a different way of doing it. Otherwise, you just fall into that trap of, well, this is the way we've always done it.
Absolutely. I laughed at the start, really, to myself, because we've been using Zoom every single day, 8 hours a day, all day, every day for such a long period of time. So it was normal for us to have remote teams. But to then have that experience and be able to lean on our own experiences and reassure our clients that it's okay. Like, we do it all the time, guys. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's going to be okay. We can help you navigate through this. So if anything, we quadrupled down for our own business. I think whilst we were still connected to our clients often, I think coronavirus allowed us to really get into our clients, like businesses like we had never done before, and really be able to create great solutions that were innovative and, yeah, just really connect on such a deeper level, on a human level too. Are you okay? And the stress for people was just insane. And so those calls just became, you know, fortnightly calls became daily calls or hourly calls to clients as well.
Just like, how are you doing?
Absolutely. And I think for our clients too, they realised the power of that connection, and they were getting on the phones to their landlords, their tenants, having those conversations and just hitting the phones like the industry had never hit phones before. It was just, you know, we'd relied on email for the last 10 years with the tech changing, and we relied on all those things, and all of a sudden the old telephone just became such an amazing tool to connect again.
Yeah. Now, a little while ago, you mentioned Sandra, and I'm sure some people listening probably know Sandra Larkin, your partner. So how do you two work together in this business?
Funnily enough, Sandra began her journey at PMVA on the 18th of March, which was the day our company pivoted to home base in the Philippines. I hadn't been to bed for 24 hours on her first day, which was quite funny. I've known Sandra for a very long time as a trainer at the REIQ and then working for Real Estate Dynamics for a very long time. So she had been in the industry and we had sort of just connected as industry colleagues. And then, yeah, up until really 12 months ago, I was doing still all the sales and running the business. But of course, we've had success in our growth. And so I had to keep letting go of a few jobs. As you do, as you get a little bit bigger, you got to keep letting go of trusting your team. And that client connection was, I was really looking for somebody who had that skill set of consultative type. You know, a strategy session could be created. And it's very difficult to find somebody with that skill set in the industry. And she had just come back from Italy and she was available. So yeah, we had a chat and we talked about the strategy and it was really in alignment with her values. She's just coaching a whole bunch of other things. So it really aligned for both of us, for her to sit in that area of the business and for me to step back and look more at the CEO role and go, okay, now I need to tighten up a few different departments here, there, and look at our expansion plans, which is what we had done at the beginning of the year, which was the point of having Sandra come on board. But obviously COVID put the brakes on a whole bunch of different things. Primarily, you can't open another country if you're not in the country. So,
I know it's tricky, isn't it, when travel shuts down and you're running an outsourcing company?
It does, yes.
So we're really happy to have you in the magazine, and there's an article in this issue that you've written a little bit about your own journey. What are some of the things you think you'll be talking about in upcoming issues? What are you really passionate about at the moment?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing for me is about scaling your business. So scalability. So not just growing your business, but scalability. So the key pillars around the key areas as an owner. So I'm very passionate about now guiding, coaching and mentoring through social media and through the article writing to share those experiences that I've had, to share some insights that I've done with some of the mentors. So I have a number of mentors that I've worked with that have transformed thousands of business owners, one of which is Kerwin Ray. So such a fan of Kerwin's, his marketing strategies are amazing. And since coming on board with Kerwin, I find my own social media journey and marketing journey has really been elevated and been able to get that message out. So I'm keen now to convert real estate business owners into corporatizing their companies and really looking at their maybe corner small real estate office that they've got and who want to really grow and who really want to work in their business every day on what they love to do rather than having to work, I guess, effectively on all the components.
On everything, yeah.
Correct, because you know, we have these gross ideas, but then executing them as one person is really difficult. And I know when I started this business, I started in my back bedroom in my apartment at Woody Point at Redcliffe in Brisbane. And for the first 2 years, I worked from home in my back bedroom and I was the only employee in Australia. We grew from zero to, I think I had 25 staff before I hired my first Australian employee and moved everything to the city. Went, I think I've got a business now. And that journey. And so I meet a lot of real estate business owners that are at that point and they want to get there, but they just don't know how. And so the content I want to write about in the articles and social media messages, you know, outsourcing is outsourcing. I think for the most part, people get that and what it really is and our unique difference in that. What I'm passionate about writing is about how you can scale your business. So we're based in three countries. We've got New Zealand clients as well. Now we're looking at our fourth country, which we're looking at the UK next. And how do you have a team of 200 people and multiple countries? You know, we're managing more than 60 different software programs. We've got nearly 100,000 properties under management that we're doing admin and leases for daily. We process 2 million bills a month. Like, it's really big. And I've learned a lot of lessons and I've made a lot of mistakes. And that's what I'm passionate about writing, is how to shortcut those lessons. And they're the kind of things I'm really passionate about, guiding people into those, that journey.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out there keen to learn from you for sure. What do you see for the next 12 months in the property management industry?
I think we're going to see probably three core things that are going to happen. You're going to get the group of agents that are going to kick on. past COVID and see the wind, they go, oh, recession, fantastic, let's get in there. And they'll see the whole thing as a real opportunity. We'll have the ones that just want to consolidate, that don't want to make big moves, just want to consolidate. I just want to keep my little nest egg going here. How do I protect my clients? How do I protect my staff? How do I save costs and keep my doors open? And you'll get probably the majority that will want to sit in that category. And then you'll have the ones that just will not change. And unfortunately, we might not see 12 months from now either. There'll be a bit of a change, I think, in that regards. But I think that there'll be the three. There'll be the ones that want to move, the ones that all just want to stay put, and then the ones that will probably drag behind.
Do you see the trend continuing where something we're seeing a lot is consumers want to be able to pick and choose their own bits of the service that they want to take on from a property manager? Will that continue?
I think that that will definitely continue because you've got, you know, there's different platforms now for property management particularly, and I talk in that platform because it's my career base, but there are alternatives now to your mainstream corner real estate business. And because of that, it's going to give landlords more choice. And so I think the client experience is the next layer of property management that business owners need to start really focusing on the client journey and the client's experience and what that's like. I do think the agencies that will survive, the volume of national low-cost businesses that will come onto the market, I'm not saying that they're not great either. If you've got a traditional office and you want to keep that bespoke thing that you're doing, you still want to have, you know, not saying you want to have a small rent roll, you might have 400, 500, 600 properties in your portfolio. Those agencies have got to pivot more towards what the client wants. And you're right, using our methodology of a pick and mix, here's all the lines of service that we can deliver you, and then let's make a bespoke service just for your property, for your journey of your investment and what you want to create. And then creating that in a scalable way for your clients would be the ultimate, I think, for most property management business owners, to have a company that can deliver unique service to each individual client, but at the same time, systemize it in a way that can be delivered efficiently and effectively.
Yeah, that does sound like the ultimate, actually, now that you've said it in such a simple way. Look, Tiffany, it has been amazing talking to you today and getting to know you, and we're so happy to have you in the magazine as a new regular. If there was one thing that you would like people to remember from some of the advice and knowledge that you've shared with us today, what would it be?
I think just go for it. I think growth, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a property manager, it doesn't matter what your role is, even if you're a receptionist, because I've been there and I have been the receptionist. If you've got dreams to have a career in this industry, my suggestion is to just go for it. If I could be remembered for anything, it's that, because I was just a 22-year-old sitting on the front desk at little office at TG Newton. I'll say hi to Jim Gregorio if he's listening, who still owns the business. But that was me. And in 20 years' time, I've created an international global business. And I was just a property manager. I was nothing special. But I just had a dream and I just went for it. No matter what, I just kept taking the hits and I kept getting back up and I just kept going for it. So if there's one thing I could say is if you've got a dream, go for it. Just keep pushing for what you want. And with growth comes challenge and it gives you grit and toughness, and it's not rainbows and sunshine journey. It's a tough journey, but it's worth it in the end.
Yeah, just got to keep going.
Correct.
Absolutely. Tiffany Bowtell, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sam.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate, with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.